We started talking last week about 1031 exchange, and we talked about how to cheshbin different things in when you want to cheshbin your meiser. So Taka found today mefurish in the Piskei Kovitz Psakim from Rav Forsheimer. There's so many svarim on tzedakah, so you have to kind of like go with the mahalach. So I like going with Rav Forsheimer from Lakewood. So he said, Taka writes beferish the 1031 is chayv and meiser. He does write that.
So even if the house situation.
My example was that it's not a business case. That I have a psak from Rabbi Yashav about that when it's the same, when it's for personal use and you just need a house to live, that's different. But otherwise, then you would be chayv, generally speaking. And we said that the general pshat is when we consider it that you're expanding one business versus, you know, ending one business venture to start another. And Mamela, usually selling a building or something like that, will be considered a new business. Now, on that note,
how to do it if it's impossible? Like, let's say someone, a house, it's 100, then it went to 200, then he does that. He's thinking of 1031. He maybe doesn't have the cash, he has the assets, but to give that nicer.
Well, he just sold the house. Where did cash go?
To the next house.
So don't buy the next house. So give nicer, and then buy what you can afford.
If it's not afford to give the
Meiser,
it's better not to do it.
Give the Meiser, and then with what...
Money may not transfer. It could be all in loans. Doesn't mean
you say this. Oh, you never actualized the money. That's, if you never actualized the money, you never really owned it to begin with. You felt good about it, but you didn't really own it, right? So, you know...
I think the question is do you pay Meiser on a 1031 exchange?
I mean, that is the question.
That was the question. But
I'm saying,
if you buy one to two to three, sometimes you're just taking out, cashing out, but you're paying that straight back into the deal.
That's what we're trying to say, is that the cash that you cashed out, the revach that you made, is subject to Meiser, and then whatever's left, you can reinvest and tell the IRS that you're a potter from tax, income tax. But that does nothing to do with Meiser. So now I was thinking that you could say a similar svara regarding the following shaila, which is also often a shaila which is asked, which is if you have multiple business ventures and you make money in one and you lost money in the other. So we mentioned this last week, and I said I'll get back to the olam. What's the din? So you made money in one, you lost money in the other. Okay, so you put in two stocks, you cashed out, you have all the money. This one lost, this one gained. So do you say that you only pay Meiser on the net gain, right? So even though this investment made $10,000, this one lost $3,000. So now or do you say, look, the $3,000 you lost, but the $10,000 you made, you have to pay Meiser on the whole $10,000. So one could argue that it should be the same type of svara, which is like we gave the marshal last week. If a guy owns a grocery store and made money on eggs and lost money on milk, you don't say, well, okay, you give Meiser on the eggs and take off. No, there it's considered one business. Anything which would be considered one business, of course, you go with the net gain. But what about two separate businesses? So I was thinking that it should be the same thing. And if it's two separate businesses, then
$100,000 and divided into 10 different businesses.
You're saying you took $100,000, and now you don't have 110 minus, you only got back your 7,000, whatever, your 10, and you gained one, but you lost three over there, so you take the net gain. Okay, so Lemaisa, it seems like in this Shiloh, the place of R. Makel, that anything which happened within one fiscal Meiser year. So there's a fiscal year for Meiser. So the question is, what is that fiscal year for Meiser? But whatever that fiscal year for Meiser is, you can kind of make a total cheshbin of what you started off with, and what you made, and your revach will be what's subject to Meiser. So what's the fiscal year from? And this is already a tshuva from the Noi de Biyuda. It's a tshuva from the Noi de Biyuda. It's brought in the Piskei Tshuva itself on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. So I would think that that's authoritative enough that even though not everyone goes like that, but it seems like you could be mako with that. That's what I thought. Rabbi Forsheimer says the same thing. They could be mako with that. So now, what is the fiscal year for Meiser? So, there are two shitas on that. Some say it's Rosh Hashanah, like you find by Meiser Behema. It's like similar to that. It has to go from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. And some people say it's whenever you do it. It doesn't matter, but it's a year. The time period is a year, okay? And whatever it is, you should have your year that you, you know, make your cheshbonos. And therefore, and at that point, you can do it. Now, if you have a salary, it should be generally pretty simple to do it. I don't know that you could use your salary to offset losses that are separate. And it's like your case makes a lot of sense. You took $100,000, you made two investments. One of them was good, one of them was bad. So then it makes sense that you could subtract it. But if you have money in savings. You already paid my son. And then you go ahead and you lost some. But you have a salary. I'm not sure that that loss cancels out that salary. That's a different idea. Salary is the chor kavodik, a salary that a person should take meiser off of. And in that case, because otherwise it's very hard to keep track, and at the end of the year you're going to take it. So, you know, zechah, the best way to do it is as your salary comes in to separate into a meiser account or to a donor's fund or to some sort of place that you know it's over there. Now, two more points on this. One point is that... I'm going out of order because I forgot what the first point I wanted to say was. But one point is that you have to know, let's say you have like a donor's fund, a donor's advice fund or whatever, that basically for tax purposes, it's very convenient. You put everything over there and then you don't need to get a receipt from every time that you gave tzedakah to some other place. You have one place and they give you your tax receipt at the end of the year and whatever it is.
Or you've got the receipt and claim it twice.
Or what?
Said, well, you get the receipt and claim it twice, which is pretty much what all these places do.
All, yeah, okay. Okay, make a disclaimer, I didn't say that. So, in case he's being... the ha'ara that you have to keep in mind, or before Shana exists, ha'ara, it's a good ha'ara, is that it could be the shayla of Baal Ta'acher if you don't give it on time. You can't keep it there forever. It's not like, okay, I clear my conscience, I separated the meiser money, it's over there now, and whatever it is, it is. And when I have something that really calls my attention, I'll give it. But till then, you know, I did my chiyuv, I was mafresh my meiser, I don't look at it, it's not my money, I feel very comfortable, I did my meiser thing, and it's there. There is a din of Baal Ta'acher. Now, strict letter of the law is, the Baal Ta'acher is miyad. If it's in a case where it's kaimi aniyim, that's what Maharaj Hashanah says. If it's kaimi aniyim, that means that there are aniyim in front of you. Technically speaking, it's bal ta'acher miyad. So, you know, you can't say, well, I'm saving my maisa for something else. Well, maisa, we paskin that you were masna mistama al dasking, and therefore, you know, you don't have to give it right away. But there is still a shir bal ta'acher, potentially. So,
fiscal period?
What?
Does it correlate with the fiscal
No, that period? Doesn't necessarily. It means once you put Meiser aside, you're saying, you're putting it aside, but you're saying until future reference, I'm not really sure that this, I may be able to offset it with something else, so therefore I'm not really separating it as Meiser yet.
I'm just saying that in terms of the fiscal year, we're saying this is the fiscal year of when you have.
That's the guy with the cash bonus, but not the guy giving it out.
But you would think that would be the same.
No, but once you put it in your account.
Either Rosh Hashanah or either the year period that you have to.
I think this year is Shlosher or Golem. So if you put it there before Rosh Hashanah, then you have Sukkot, Pesach, and then before Shavuos, you have to give. You can't wait till the next Rosh Hashanah necessarily. It's Shlosher or Golem. To give it out. Now, Reb Chaim Kanievsky brings down that he went to the Chazon Ish before he got married and to get some advice on different things. And one of the things he discussed with him was Meiser Ksafim. And the Chazon Ish told him that in order to avoid Baal Ta'acher, he should have in mind that he's putting it in this, he's separating it, but he's not giving it a name of Meiser Tzedakah yet until he gives it out. Like he's not dedicating it as Meiser Tzedakah, it's just kind of earmarked that it will be my sukkah when I am ready to separate it.
So you're the guy that needs to separate them?
It's hard to understand how that would work in the way we do it.
I thought the other way around. What will happen if I separate, but it says this money goes, I want specifically for that future thing that I'm thinking of. So then when, if someone...
It's already given out already.
No, something else comes in. I'm not mechayev because I already put that this money will go to this tzedakah.
I understand what you're saying. Here, let me see if I can find this right now. How he said it.
What is the
Isra of Balta'acha? Balta'acha is you make a neder, or you have to pay it within through Shloisha Chadashim. If you made a carbon, you say, I'm going to bring a carbon Nedava. So the halacha is, you have to bring it within 3 months.
Here the neder is,
so the Gemara says, Beficha Zuat Tzedakah. The Gemara Darshans, we'll learn about it when we learn about Nidri Tzedakah.
So here it means, I'm going to give the money to Tzedakah?
Yeah, essentially. It's like a neder that I'm setting aside for tzedakah.
If you give it to a gavai tzedakah, and he's going to take a year to give it out, that's not your problem.
So we'll learn that. We'll learn that, because what happens if you give it to a pushka? Is that considered that you did your mitzvah already? I have a pushka for Rameir Balanet, whatever. I have a pushka over here for that thing, and I put it for that organization, and I put it in over there. So is it considered that you gave it already? Well, big nafkamina, what happens if the money gets stolen? Do you call them up and say, by the way, I had a lot of money for you, but it got stolen? Or do you say... They tell you, well, you didn't give it to me. It's yours. It's not ours. Who's chayiv in that case? And
stolen, then you're still a shomer chinam, so you're chayiv in the
neveda. If you're a shomer chinam, so and who then? If you had 4 pushkas, one had $100, one had 5, or whatever. You don't know, and it all got mixed up. Who's chayiv to pay the? You know, there are a lot of nafkamina to this that we'll get to. When we learned Nidrit Tzedakah, we didn't learn that yet. But I'm just bringing out the point.
Because like a donor advised fund is a non-profit, so maybe that's considered a Gavai Tzedakah. So you can't use it yourself. You can't take
right.
it out
and
use it.
Yeah, okay. So
it's different than sending aside money into your own bank account saying, this is my Meister account versus giving
you're giving it out.
Fund where you can't take it back.
You can't take it back. Right. It could be it's already not yours. Like technically speaking, you already gave it to them. And technically, they could probably give it just the rules you made that they can't choose who to give it to. But you only at that point you only have like toibas anah, so maybe that's better.
And if your employer pays, technically, if an employee makes a donation to a donor advised fund on your behalf, you don't have to pay taxes on it. It's not your account.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's
done,
I'm talking about like direct deposit going there. But I think if they, let's say you have an organization that your employer says will match whatever donation you give.
Right.
So if they send it directly there, I mean, the same way they send it directly to the coal, you don't have to pay tax on that. If they send it directly there, they're not going to pay tax on it either.
Yeah, okay. Now, I want to talk about, okay, so that was the being Mafresh. 1031, and we spoke about the fiscal year. Okay. There's something else I wanted to mention, but okay, I don't remember right now what it is. Okay, one other shaila I wanted to bring up. There's a lot of shailas what I should use Meister money for. I'm not going to go through each one. You know, people ask all sorts of shailas. Can I use it to buy coffee for the Olam? Can I sponsor breakfast? Can I buy sfarim for a shul? There's tons of shailas. I'm not going to go through each one. Basically, our minhag is more or less for mitzvahs that you would not do otherwise. Okay? Like we said before, supporting a shul, even if you get something out of it, I'm not sure about that. No, it depends. If the shul's having kiddush every week, and then it's an expense of the shul, and you're giving to the shul, but like, stam is like to sponsor kiddush for your daughter, is not meiser. I was going to say more like buying aliyahs or something like that, where you're giving money to the shul. And it's just you're getting an aliyah out of it. Our minig is, generally speaking, that you could take it from Meiser.
Auctions on aliyahs?
Yeah. Who? Auction? Yeah.
But if someone gave 100 and they used 110, the shul already had 100.
So what? The shul had 100. I mean, technically speaking, the shul has whatever you're going to give.
Yeah, I mean, like from the other person, once you're giving 110, maybe you can say...
No, but you're giving the whole point.
Well, if you can,
so then collect 100 from someone else, from the other guy. But then that you're a chroy for the 110, so... he can do that. He can go up $10. It's legal. Okay. So the shaila that I do want to talk about, which is a common shaila, which is an important shaila. Okay, so I'm not going to go through each and every single possible use of your Meiser money. But the shaila that I think is a very important shaila is, and it's been again in this community and other places, is where you have a shaila where to buy something or who to hire for something. So there's a halacha that you're supposed to hire a yid and you're supposed to sell or buy, at least, buy from a yid. So if you have a choice, if you should buy from a yid or you should buy from a goy, the chiyuv is from the Torah itself, you're supposed to buy, it's a mefirsh pasuk in the chumash, you're supposed to buy from a yid. Okay? And who then you're supposed to hire a yid to do your work for you. So, everyone wants to know, well, the yid is more expensive. Right? So, people don't usually ask, well, what happens if the yid is cheaper? I didn't get that one too often. But the yid is more expensive. So, if the yid is more expensive, what's the halacha? So, the Chafetz Chaim says, in Avos Chesed, you're mechuyiv to give it to the yid, even at a little bit of a loss to yourself. A hefsed muat. It still goes into the mitzvah because it's a mefirsh pasuk. Lager asher b'shachat ha'chlenu va'achala oimachar la'nachri. So the Gemara says you have a nevela. What do you do with a nevela? What do you do with a nevela? So he says if you have a ger toishav, not even a yid, a ger toishav is an honest guy that accepted upon himself sheva mitzvah b'nei noach and he's part of the community. So lager asher b'shachat titnena va'achala. You should give it to him. Oi or machar la'nachri. Sell it to the guy. It means you have to give it to the ger toishav before you would sell it. What do you mean before I would sell? But I'm giving it to him for free. So whatever the value of a nevela is, you have to give that up in order to support and give money to this ger toishav. It's not even a yid. So obviously it's mavur in the pasuk. It's the deraisa. The mechuyev to hire a yid or give to a yid or sell to do business with a yid, even at a certain loss to yourself. I'm not going to get involved in what that loss is, but a certain minimal amount of loss. Hefsed muat hakol lafi ha situation. You have to know what a hefsed muat means. When you're if it's a shy love of a big job, then the hefsed muat is going to be a lot larger than if it's a small job, obviously, right? So it's a certain percentage of the job. It's called a hefsed muat. Okay. Now, by the way, the big shail is hefsed muat go into tircha. In other words, I can order on Amazon. I can order on Walmart. So, of course, if I was going to the store, I'd go to the Jewish store and I won't go to Walmart. But it's not a matter of the money. It's a matter that the tircha. So, l'chor, you have to translate, convert the tircha into value. What would you pay? What would you pay for that tircha? And Mestama people, the tircha you're not mechuyev to do. But okay. But al kopanim, what happens if to hire the yid is going to be more than a hefsed muat? So, Reb Dov Kahan has a whole sefer just on this topic. On this topic of hiring a yid over a guy. With all the Ma'amar Kaimis and all the sources and everything. He wrote a whole sefer on it. And over there, he says that, and I think is that you could take from Iser. So in other words, what you're mechuyev to hire the yid for, you can't take from Iser. So the hefsed muat part, you can't take from Iser. But once it becomes more than hefsed muat, then there's no way I would hire the yid at this difference in price. It's beyond my chiyev, and I'm not going to do it. But if now, provided that the yid needs the parnasa, meaning it has to be a tzedakah scenario. If the yid has a huge business, and they're going to just to hire the yid when you're not mechuyev, if it's not a tzedakah situation, it's not a part you're really helping his parnasa, that doesn't go into maaser.
You're always helping the parnasa.
Well, okay, but he doesn't need that help. He's going to do fine without it.
He has to be a nani?
He has to be that the money makes sense as a tzedakah. You have to figure out, is he a nani?
I mean, if I would give him cash without hiring him, or just give him a gift, would that be considered tzedakah?
I don't know if it has to be that much. It has to be that he's living from, this is literally his money that he's living from, month to month. He's living from month to month. He's a service person.
How long can determine that?
You're going to ask the guy for his tax?
I think that's why you're giving it to him. You feel bad for him. You're giving it to him because he needs the help. You have to determine exactly what that means, but it's going to be helpful for him. In the here and the now. It's not just he got another job. You know, okay, I can put it on my website. I got another job. No matter the guy that he actually needs it, or you know the store is suffering. It's gonna need it needs this. You know it's gonna help them in their business model. Bet him. It's gonna be helpful. So it's a stuck a situation.
So it's helpful when you get more accounts.
Right, not necessarily.
What?
It could be that technically speaking, it could be the guy doesn't even care. It's, in fact, it's maybe even important. The guy has a commercial business. He's a yid, right? And you do other business with him for your business. And you say, do me a favor, come by and fix my whatever place, do plumbing in my house, right? Okay, I'll do you a favor, I'll come by. You could care less.
No, I'm saying sometimes, I think it has to be understood to be that it's not just another account. I think it has to be understood to be not just another account. Of a pretty successful business asset. It's not a person that does jobs, this is, you know, and you're hiring him for this job. Now, what happens if, what is also, so that's something to keep in mind. I think your average plain old service person, that's not having employees and all this thing, he does the work himself, plain old service person, I think would fall into this category. I'm not saying that other scenarios not, but that for sure I would think would fall into the scenario that you could take from Iser in that case. What happens if the case that there's a tshuva from the Maram Shik? Maram Shik was one of the main Talmidim, the Chasam Sofer. So the Maram Shik has a tshuva that someone had a choice about a Sefer Torah, which, by the way, you cannot use Maaser money to buy a Sefer Torah, because a Sefer Torah is a mitzvah that everyone has to do. You have to do the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. And if you say, well, I have Sfarim, okay, so then don't write it. But if you're writing the Sefer Torah because you want to fulfill the mitzvah of writing the Sefer Torah, you cannot use Maaser money for that. I don't know why, but I think I bumped into a couple people in the last couple, I think it's misunderstood.
You're kind of in the midst of buying a letter and having the sofer hold the pen with you.
No, that's a kiyum mitzvah, but that doesn't mean you patterned your chiv of writing your own sefer Torah.
What about the price differential?
What's that? Between all and what?
Meaning, I could buy a sefer Torah for this.
Are you mekayem mitzvah that way? But it's a bedieved. Yeah. But it's more bedieved.
It's not
okay.
The effort. It's the
okay, but you're doing it because of history. You're not doing it because okay. So you're doing it because you want to do the mitzvah better. So that's a mitzvah. Calls money mechuyev to do it.
Nobody wants.
What's that? So. Who?
You can buy an os and a secretary.
Yeah, mechuyev to buy an os. Every time there's a kshuva secretary, I'm mechuyev to go buy an os. What?
I'm saying it's not the mitzvah.
Right, exactly. It's a kiyum mitzvah, but that doesn't mean it's a fulfillment of your mitzvah. It doesn't pot you from your mitzvah. So you cannot use Maaser money to buy a Sefer Torah. Now, well, I guess if you want to buy a Sefer Torah for a shul, and then it's not going to be yours, then okay, but no one does that. That's not the normal way to do it. Okay? So now...
The shul that doesn't have their own Sefer Torah.
Still, people don't give
it. Usually you don't give a Sefer Torah away to the shul. Usually it's on loan to the shul, because otherwise the guy that wrote it was not fulfilling the mitzvah. I mean, there are people out there that have written tens of or hundreds of Sefer Torah for places all over the world. This guy in New York does that. He writes it for any shul, any place, like in far out places, you know, in Europe and in Russia, this and that, he'll write a Sefer Torah for them. But regularly speaking, that's not the way it's done. So, the Maram Shik's Shiloh was that he had a choice of two seferim. One was, either by the quality of the Sefer Torah would be the same, but one of them was going to be a Talmud Chacham, an Ani, and this is the way he supports himself in his learning. So if he would hire that one, can he take the difference out of Maaser? So it's an interesting tshuva. He writes over there two reasons why not, but I think both reasons are questionable. Reason number one, he says it's Gnevas Das. Would he feel good knowing that you're paying him with Maaser? So I don't think he would care. I mean, he knows that he's, you know, of course he feels that, like, you know, he's learning for a living. He's a sofer, but this is how you're supporting him. Most people, I don't think, would care.
Why does he have to even know?
Well, that's what he's saying. He's saying he has rayas from Mishnayos, other places, that it could be, if he doesn't know or if he would feel bad, it could be Tzkenevas Das. Here he thinks that you think he's a great cipher. In reality, you're just spending your Maaser money on him. So he's not, he brings that issue up, which is an interesting issue. And the second issue he brings up is that once you make the deal with him, you become a chuyiv in Choshen Mishpat to pay for the Sefer Torah. It's a business. Now you're patterning your chiv with your Maaser money.
So it's said without any employee.
Okay,
so
hiring
because
right. So the answer is what you had in mind originally for the whole deal was to pay with the Meiser money. We spoke to Sam about supporting your son-in-law. We said if you made a deal to support the son-in-law and then you decide to spend Meiser money later, that's a problem. But if your original commitment to support the son-in-law in learning was from your Meiser money, so then that's okay. So that would be the similar idea over here. And therefore, if you reason you want to pay more, here's not the choice between a yid and a goy. They're both yidin, obviously. Right? It's a cipher. They're both yidin. But you want to hire the one that needs it more, or the one that's he's more of an ani and he's more expensive.
There's a yid of kadimas in this halachas of hiring a yid. Let's say someone is in your city, it's a marketing in your city that one.
You could look over there. Rav Doiv speaks about this in his sefer. But he's very machmer on Kedima and Stuck also. We had a shear from him, so I'm not sure. But Al Koponim, that's another shaila that does come up with Meiser. Now, there's another Gemara. I want to go through this Gemara today because I printed the Gemara. It's a very fascinating Gemara. It's a sort of shocking Gemara, actually. About Kedima of a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara says like this. It's the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Ches. There's like three or four blot in Baba Basra that talk about Hilchos Tzedakah. This is the very first sugya over there. The Gemara says like this. Rebbe Pasach Oitzreis, B'shnei Batzeres. Rebbe was the Gabbai Tzedakah. Rebbe, the author of the Mishnayos, the greatest person since Moshe Rabbeinu, basically, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, right? So what did he do? He was a Gabbai Tzedakah. He gave out money to people that didn't have food. It's unbelievable. So Rebbe Pasach Oitzreis B'shnei Batzeres. So Rebbe himself opened up Oitzreis, grain warehouses, when there was a famine. Amar Yechansu Bali Mikra, anyone that knows Chumash can call him Bali Mishnah, people that know Mishnah is Bali Gemara, Bali Halacha, Bali Haggadah, Aval Ami Aretz Al Yechansu. I don't want any Ami Aretz over here. So, Dochak Rabbi Yonason ben Amram v'nichnas. Rabbi Yonason ben Amram, now based on his title of Rabbi Yonason, he obviously was a Tana, is it? Amar loy, Rabbi Parnaseini. So he says, Rabbi, I need food. Amar loy, Bini Karisa, did you ever learn Chumash? Amar loy, Lav. Shaniso, did you ever learn anything? Amar loy, Lav. Imkein, b'ma farnasecha, so how should I give you anything? I already made an announcement. I'm not taking in people like you. Amar loy, Parnaseini kekelev v'ka'oyrev. Give me, I'm not worse than a kelev and an oyrev, that Hashem is mefarnes them. So why shouldn't you be mefarnes me? Parnesay, Hitaka gave him. Basa Danofik, after he left, Yosef Rebbe couldn't get over himself. Become its tire. Rebbe was in such tsar that he gave out money to an Amaretz. Amar, oylish and asati piti lama aretz. I can't believe it. I gave money away to Amaretz. It's horrible. Amar lefan Rav Shimon by Rebbe, so Rav Shimon, his son, told him, well, I don't know, not so fast. Shema Yonison ben Amram Tamidchahu. She'ino roitz lehanas recovered a Torah miyamov. I think it was Rav Yonison ben Amram, but he didn't want to take this chus of learning. He wanted to get the money for free. Badku ashkach, and he was right. Amar Rebbe kantu a koil, in the end whatever, there's enough to give out. Rebbe Letaime, what's the pshat in Rebbe? Da Amar Rebbe, ain't Peronos Bal La'olam El Bashul Ami Ha'aretz. Okay. So a component of this Gemara says that a person should avoid giving tzedakah to Ami Ha'aretz. It's a Peladik of Gemara. All right, so now, we know, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that someone that is considered a Mumer Lahachis, someone that's an Apikiris, which again is an old shmooze, which we're not talking about now, which is nowadays, do we have that? Do we consider most people to be tinnik shenishba? Do we consider most people to be uneducated? And that's why they don't do things or whatever. But that person, you're that's it. If he's a mumer l'haches, you don't deal with him. Even if he's a mumer l'teyavon, even if he does averus publicly, he's not an angry guy at Hashem. But well, if he's in the mood of an aver, you'll do it. Also, you're not mechayev to give them tzedakah. That's also a mefurash halacha. Mishuhu avaryan b'mezid al achas mekol mitzvos amuris patera v'loy osa tshuva enoi chayiv l'achayoysoi v'loy l'halvoysoi alts daki shalom, you're allowed, but you're not mechuyiv. So someone that does avaryas publicly, you know, even if he's not the worst guy in the world and he's not, you know, apikuris, but he does avaryas publicly, you're not mechuyiv to give them tzedakah. You could, if you want, if he does averus publicly to anger Hashem, to make a statement, then you shouldn't give him anything. Okay. But an Amaretz? Well, what's with the Amaretz? So, the Beis Yosef brings from the Ritva, a Pshan in the Gemara, and that's how he passed in Shulchan Aruch. He says that we're talking about Shnei Batzairis. It's talking about, it was a famine. And anything that you give to this one is going to take away from that one. So Rebbe had limited amount of money of food, and he had only enough food to give to Talmidei Chachamim. So here, giving to the Amaretz is going to directly impact what he could give to the Talmidei Chachamim. So over there, the Talmidei Chachamim have Kedima. So it's a din Kedima. It wasn't a din Stam, don't give the Amaretz. It was a din of Hilchos Kedima. However, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it says, Rebbe, Shayim, it's very, very rare that you find the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch comes to explain a Gemara. Come on, doesn't happen. But here, the Shulchan Aruch comes and explains the story. Rebbe Shahaya Mitzta'er Shenosan Pitei Lama Aretz. Why was Rebbe so afraid of giving his bread to the Amaretz? Shum Tahavu Shnei Batzaris, there was a famine. Umashaya Oichel Lama Aretz Yechzal Tamachachim. Because the more he gives out to the Amaretz, the Tamachachim is going to lose out. Halav Hachi, but if it weren't for that, Chayiv Lachayoisai. He would have supported him. Avon Bolif, and Eno Meis Barav. However, there's one exception. If he's mamash going to die, if you don't give him, chayv lachiyos, avu bishu sofek im yachsal tamachacham. It was talking about that he's mamash holding by, this is it. If you don't give me now, he's going to die, then of course you have to give him. He wasn't talking about that. But when if he only have a certain amount, yeah, that I heard from Rabbi Lapiansky, so he said that his father was in the Kovno ghetto. He didn't talk about the story, how he escaped or whatever, but he was in the Kovno ghetto. And somehow or other, he ended up getting access to food. So he had access to some sort of soup kitchen. And obviously, it became known to people that he had access to food. So now, he has to make this heart-wrenching decision, who is he going to give the food to? Because everyone wants it. So he said, "Is mamash in your pekuch nefesh?" So he did not answer those questions himself, and he went to Rabbi Avram Grudzinski. Avram Grudzinski was the mashgiach of the Slobodka Yeshiva, and he ended up leading the yeshiva in Kovna until it was destroyed. And he went to Rabbi Avram Grudzinski, and Rabbi Grudzinski gave him the guidelines how to do it. But that's mamash this case over here. You have limited amount of food. Who are you going to give to? You're going to decide. So, from Rebbe Parnasani, it's Mashma, Yitaka give the Talmidei Chacham first. But he said that one thing he did do is that whoever he did give to, he gave each person a specific slot to come so that no one else would know who else was coming. So that there would never be a matzev other than the person that came that would know who else was coming. Because he didn't want to raise, that type of issue. But, Al Kopanim, that's the story of Rebbe. So, in Hilchos Kedima, Talmidei Chacham would go first. But of course, you are mechuyev to give tzedakah to an amaretz if you can afford it. Just avaryonim, people do averus, maybe not. Okay, is there anything else in Hilchos Meiser or tzedakah that we should? Any more questions? Otherwise, I want to get into what we were talking about before, which is nidrei tzedakah, and when a person makes pledges and all sorts of halachas and they get pledges and all those things, which is like the next section in halachas. There's also a whole sugya of you're allowed to take money from goyim. It's not nageya to regular people, but it's nageya to moistus and stuff like that. So maybe we'll learn that also. Okay?
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shkoyach.